The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO, and I'm tired. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial. I didn't even tell you where I was from. I am really tired today. It's been a long couple weeks. As many of you know, I run a booth at the Topsfield Fair. It's a very large booth. We staff over 200 volunteers that work the booth over the 11-day event. And it was exhausting. But I love doing it, and I'll be back again next year. I already gave the deposit. We'll be back at it. And hey, I want to give a shout out to all of the listeners. I had no idea that people actually listened to this radio show because there's a lot of people that came by the booth to say hello. Y'all got a free giant brownie. Thanks for all of your positive encouragement. You told me how much you like our show. You like the station. You like Dana and Muggs. You like Catherine. You like everybody here on the show. So we really appreciate you tuning in. I know you really enjoyed listening to Red Sox baseball here on 104.9. But as you well know, that is over for the season. We'll be back when pitchers and catchers report. But unfortunately, the Red Sox were swept this past week by the Cleveland Indians. The Red Sox did not have a great offensive showing. In reality, pitching wasn't so bad. It wasn't great, but it wasn't the reason that the Red Sox lost in the playoffs. Remember, they had an 11-game winning streak heading towards the playoffs. Then they lost, I think it was the last four or six games of the season. Then they lost the next three in the playoffs. It was a tough run, but Big Poppy went out going strong. The audience, the crowd, everybody loves Big Poppy. So, I mean, you know, he's going to be a fixture here in Boston for a long time to come. They'll be retiring his number opening day in April of next year. So if you can get tickets for that, that'll be an exciting day to be at. If not, tune in right here on North Shore 104.9. We'll be sure to pick up the game, pick up the retirement ceremony for Big Poppy in April. But now you're with me. Nice Sunday morning. The last Sunday morning was miserable. I don't know if you remember last Sunday. It was all supposed to start off really nice and cheery, but the rain just didn't go away and it got worse throughout the day. I was at the fair, of course, last Sunday, and they actually closed the fair at 6 o'clock. It was supposed to stay open until 11. I don't know why they even bothered to open it that morning. The rides at the fair on Sunday, if you happen to go there, the rides never opened. Kitty Land never opened. But all of the vendors who were there and all of the animals and, well, the animals in the barns and stuff, they were all open. We had to stay open. We stayed open until 6. We did very little business. There were very few people that walked through. I think I fed more vendors and fair personnel than we did actually fair goers. But hopefully next year the weather will be slightly better. You can always count on a few rainy days at the fair. It just stinks when it's two of the four weekend days are really bad rainy days. At any rate, I'm here to provide you with some financial advice in a language you can understand. And I thought this morning I might offer up some financial advice for some of the folks that I met at the fair this past week who were not making the smartest of financial decisions. What was one guy that I heard a story where there's an Australian hat and coat booth that's right across from us. And we got to know the guys over at the Australian hat and coat booth pretty well. If many of you that go to the fair, you know that they're there each year, and they're a very, very popular booth. They sell a lot of these oilskin coats, the really fancy, nice cowboy hats. And there are some people that are obsessed with going there year after year, day after day in some cases, to buy another coat, to buy another hat. Just like some people, some people are obsessed with shoes. There are some guys that are just obsessed with coats. And there was a guy that I heard about that continued to max out his credit card. Now, he didn't have very high limits on his credit card, but he bought about 9 coats throughout the course of the fair. Now, why would he need to buy 9 coats? Well, that's beyond me. But he was a kid in his 20s, late 20s. He still lives with mom.
And he had to continue. He actually took his mother's credit card because his credit card was maxed out so we could buy one more coat that he wanted. And we were just amazed at this guy. And the same guy was someone that would come up to our window at the booth and he'd say, you know, hey, can I pay you on a credit card? And I said, no, no, we don't take credit cards. We're all cash. But this guy would say, well, I don't have any cash on me today. Can I come back and bring you cash tomorrow? And the thing is most times I would say no, but I see this guy there every single day. He actually works for the fair. And sure enough, he would come up with cash every morning. The next morning, he would always come back by to the booth and hand me cash. And I said, so where are you getting the cash from? He says, well, I usually just borrow it from my mom each morning. Because he had already said that he had maxed out his credit cards, maxed out everything. It just amazes me how people choose to spend their money and what they choose to spend it on. I mean, you know, well, walking into the Topsfield Fair is an expensive venture all in itself. It is. You're going to pay $10, $15 a person just to walk through the gates. There's so much to see, so much for free, though, at the fair as well. And I think oftentimes many of the fairgoers miss some of the greatest things that are there. In fact, I've been going to the Topsfield Fair, well, probably since I was a baby, but I've been working at the booth there since I was 13 years old. So on Saturday, on Sunday, because it was so miserable, I decided, you know what, I'm going to grab a raincoat and I'm actually going to walk the fair. I haven't walked the fair in ages. And it absolutely amazed me how many things are going on at the fair that cost nothing. I forgot how many animals there were. These places where the sheep are kept, where the goats are kept, where there's llamas and horses and chickens and flowers and plants and vegetables and rabbits and so much stuff to see. There's the Coolidge building that has all of this tremendously gifted artists that are in there with their craftsmanship and all of the work that they do and the award-winning paintings and the drawings and the sculptures that kids or people in the community are bringing to the fair to get judged. It really is a true country fair, but many people miss all that stuff. They go, like Dana does, for the German fries and the brisket sandwich. And I appreciate that because Dana's a frequent visitor to my booth. But most people go there for the rides. They go there for the food. But you got to go for the exhibits, folks. You got to see some of this stuff. Now, I'm talking about a little bit too late about this. Fair's over. But when you go back next year, I want you to commit to yourself to say, you know what? If I'm going to pay an entrance fee to walk in the door here, I'm going to get my money's worth. And there's so much stuff. I mean, there's a blacksmith that works over in Kittyland, and you can see the way a blacksmith used to work and make tools and make different things. It's amazing. I met the blacksmith this year. We actually created a dish for him at the fair called the Blacksmith Special. And what he wanted, he created this thing, and we ended up selling it because he kept on telling people about it, and people kept on coming up for the Blacksmith Special. What is the Blacksmith Special? What it is, it's an order of French fries topped with a sandwich meat's worth amount of hot pastrami on top, and then cheddar cheese melted on top of that. And he loved it. And people saw this. They said, where did you get that? And so the blacksmith did that. So, you know, there's a lot of exchange of ideas, too. But to watch these guys, the woodworkers, the blacksmiths, the people that are making apple cider, all so much to see. And so many of us, myself included, miss it all because we're so focused on the ride, so focused on the food. A lot of good food there, though. All right. The other things that we saw at the Topsfield Fair, which I am amazed at. You watch people there where the parents are giving kids $20, $30, $40 to go spend at the fair. And they'll walk up to a window, they'll order some food, and the order comes to $8.50. And they hand you a $10 bill, and the kid says, keep it. Keep it? The food was $8.50. You're entitled to a $1.50 change. Why are you giving me a $1.50 tip? Well, at our booth, we don't take tips. We tell them, no, that's okay. We're a not-for-profit organization. All of the money that we collect goes to local Jewish community organizations in the area. We don't have a tip jar out. Because most people who get tips, it's like extra money in the person's pocket behind the window. There are a lot of people that are going to that fair that don't have the excess cash flow to be throwing around an extra $1.50, an extra $2, $3, $5, whatever it is in tips because they just, it's good for you. They think they're doing something good. No, do something for yourself. Take care of yourself financially first. Yes, waiters and waitresses at restaurants deserve to be tipped. They're getting paid $2, $3 an hour. But use the money for yourself. Be smart about it. Be smart about how you spend your money. I just see people waste it left and right. The amount of food that gets thrown away at the fair because you buy something, you didn't like it, and you're too scared to go back to the vendor to say, you know what, I really didn't like this. If you don't like something, they're going to give you your money back. But many, especially young people, are too intimidated to actually talk to a human being face to face and stand up for what they believe in. They'll do it purposefully and very strongly via text, via Instagram, via email. But to walk up for somebody to say, hey, this was lousy, or these French fries were cold, can I have another set? They just say, nah, I'll just throw it away. I'll just go somewhere else. How smart is that being with your money? You might think this whole show is about buying the right kind of investment, the right Roth IRA, the right IRA, setting up your 401k, purchasing the right house. But you know what? It starts with our own personal financial decisions at home. How we use our money, how we spend our money. Like, I loved going into Corey, my 13-year-old, his class last year, he was 12. We went into his seventh grade, I think it was a math and science class. They called it AMS, Applied Math and Science. The teacher had me come in to talk about real life personal finance skills. And so, you know, I'm not going to talk about stocks and bonds and things like that. Kids don't understand that. But what I did was I brought out three Dasani waters and I pulled them out of my bag. And I said, this first Dasani water costs 16 cents. This second Dasani water costs $1.59. And this third Dasani water costs $4.50. And I said, who can tell me the difference between the three waters? And the kids are looking at it. They're trying to justify why one would be more than the other. And I explained to them all, it's the same water. But why is one 16 cents? Why is one $1.49 and one is $4.50? Now we start talking about the reasons that we pay more for certain things. A lot of it is due to convenience. You go to Fenway Park, you'll pay $4.50 for that water. You go to Market Basket and get a case of Dasani water, the bottle price is about 16 cents. You go into Cumberland Farms or CVS or your local Dunkin' Donuts to grab a water, and it's $1.49, $1.99. Does that make any sense? It should force us to think a little bit more carefully. Why do we continue to rush to Starbucks or to Dunkin' Donuts every day for our $2 coffee when it can cost 6 cents if we make it at home? We can actually go to Stop and Shop, to Market Basket, and buy Dunkin' Donuts coffee and buy Starbucks coffee. And we know that we have a Mr. Coffee or some kind of a coffee maker at home, yet we refuse to do it. We refuse to do it. We'll be willing to spend. Look, I'm part of it. I'm the problem. I put $75 on my Starbucks card probably every 6 weeks. Think about that. And think about, wait, I get a paycheck. You might get a paycheck. Do your kids get a paycheck? No. They want their coffee. They are their hot chocolate or whatever it is. They can make it at home. We need to empower our kids to take on more responsibility at home, recognize that there's a cost and a value for everything. I'll tell you, if your kids were responsible for paying for their own Dunkin' Donuts coffee or their own waters that they wanted to get at Cumberland Farms, they wouldn't be buying it so quickly. They'd be thinking of other ways to do it. It's why you brought lunch to school rather than bought lunch at school. That's what happened. There's a lot of stuff to talk about when it comes to personal finance and making smart decisions and making sure that you put the right financial decisions in front of you so that we can provide financial advice in a language you can understand. We want to do that. I want to give it to you each and every Sunday. And we've got three more segments ahead of us, and we're going to keep providing that advice until finally we all get it and we're all starting to make smarter decisions. My name is Mark Friedman. You're listening to Dollars and Cents right here on North Shore 104.9.
Isn't it time to get serious about your retirement planning? Friedman Financial is a financial planning and investment management firm in Peabody. They've been helping professionals and retirees put solid strategies into play for 40 years. when you're planning to get serious about planning for retirement. Call Friedman Financial for a free initial consultation at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or go online to FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com.
If I had a $1 million.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Man, that last segment got me all wound up, and now it started me thinking, I'm like, my heart's racing. I'm running around here. It's Sunday morning. I've had my coffee. At first, I started that I was really tired, but boom, man, I am wide awake, and I want to talk about, let's talk about that debate. Let's talk about that debate. What do you think of that? Man, you know what I think about the debate? The candidate options that we have are lousy. The candidate options that we have are lousy. If we could actually start all over again, I'm not convinced that we would actually get better candidates, but I think everyone would like a redo on this one. Can we just take a mulligan and just leave things as they are? Let's push the election out another year and start again. Can't do that. We can't do that. But you know what we can do is we can make a change to the way the debate format works. I am so sick and tired of watching these debates and watch everybody else, the moderators, the stations, the debate commission, whoever, everyone's got to take a blame for something. My feeling is if your kid were part of the debate club at high school or in college, they have to abide by rules, right? If there's a 2-minute time limit, they are done. 2 minutes, you're done. You don't answer the question, you're going to get in trouble for that. You're getting thrown out. So here's the deal. I think the role of the moderator at a debate should be just this. And they set this up front. When we give you 2 minutes to speak, your 2 minutes are your 2 minutes. There's counters all over the place. Plan, speak concisely, speak clearly, because at the end of the 2 minutes, your microphone goes quiet. No more noise comes out of your mouth. You will just look like you're mouthing words, and you will look like an idiot. So plan accordingly. Look, I have a radio show. People do radio shows. People do television. Everything is committed to time. All of media, every media personnel knows, look, we got 45 seconds to get this segment out. Let's do it in 45 seconds. That doesn't mean, oh, I've got 9 more seconds to go. It doesn't work that way. If you get 2 minutes, you get 2 minutes. And the other role, the role that the moderator should have is when a question is asked, and after about 10 to 20 seconds, we realize that the candidate is not answering the question, the microphone quiets again. The moderator steps up. So-and-so, let me be sure that you understood the question clearly. I'm going to restate it for you and give you the opportunity to answer it directly. If you do not answer the question correctly, you will not be able to rebut the comment that the next candidate has to say. Let's hold people to standards. Look, both Trump and Clinton want to hold different groups to different standards. They all want to accuse everybody else what they're doing wrong. Well, you know what? Why don't we as Americans stand up and tell them what they're doing wrong? That the way that they handle themselves in front of a debate, in front of the crowds, and how they advertise is a disgrace to America. We in America are the laughing stock of the rest of the world. You should go ahead. Look, we all have cable. Try watching BBC for the day. Try watching Al Jazeera English. I don't care what you watch. You will be amazed at how the rest of the world mocks America while we sit here beating our chest, telling everybody how they're wrong. And when we want to do things our way, we say, screw it, we're going to do it wrong. And we're going to do it our way. And we're not going to have to follow any rules because we're America. Well, you know, that's wrong. In America, we need to follow rules. We need to put ourselves, like even as Mrs. Obama said, we need to go high when they go low. Why is it that Hillary Clinton can throw that to Donald Trump, but she doesn't take that same standard herself? Those are throwaway lines if they don't apply by them. We all have supposedly a level of integrity, and you'd like to think that the candidates that are running for presidency have a higher standard than anybody else that's running for this office. And neither of us feel that either of those candidates carry that. And that is what's embarrassing for this country. You know, people will ask me, Mark, what is the market going to do if Clinton wins or if Trump wins? You know what the real answer is? It doesn't matter because the markets really don't care. The markets are a whole nother world separate from the United States government because they know that most people in government are just in somebody else's pocket. When it comes to business,
when it comes to running the economy, when it runs to the stock market and the bond market, people are making decisions because they're good for business. And if they're good for business, they make money. If they're bad for business, they don't make money. Look, when our Congress, when our Senate decides to say, we're going to agree to have this universal health care and it doesn't work and it's a failure, yet they aren't participants in it, why don't they have to take the blame? That's a broken system. Our entire governmental system is broken. We need it. We need government. You need to have that in place. But the system is broken. And neither of these candidates have proposed anything or even have the experience to fix it. Because the one that has the experience says that everything's going great. The one that says it's all broken has never worked in government before. And government doesn't work like business either. We have to understand that. But we need someone that is going to be a little bit more thoughtful, a little bit more careful. But also, you know what? To run a successful government, to run a successful business, you must take risks. And one of the things that I think Donald Trump is unnecessarily getting bashed on is the fact that he didn't pay taxes in a few years. That's not his fault. The government designed the tax code. Look, if you had the opportunity to take a deduction for your property tax or for your IRA contribution or for charitable contributions, would you do it? Of course you would. You want to pay as little tax as possible. How many people want to pay more tax than they should be? No one. If you have the opportunity to pay a little tax, and if it works out that you can pay no tax, hey, that's the way it works. If we want to change the system, change the system. But right now, the system is the way it is, and everybody, no one's breaking any laws here. I think Donald Trump, whether you like him or not, and I'm not a big fan of his, but he should not be getting bashed because he didn't pay taxes. He didn't break the law. He followed the law that our government created. He followed the law that our government created. Did Hillary break the law? Yeah, she broke the law. She gave up all of those emails. She deleted all of those things from her server. Now, I'm not saying one is a better candidate than the other. I'm just saying that we have to really rationalize who's right, who's wrong when it comes to breaking the law and not breaking the law here. Come on. This is ridiculous. And nobody, certainly no one in the media, has the guts to stand up and drive a debate that gets the candidates to drop what is unnecessary to talk about and focus on the important issues that need to be discussed. People say, Mark, why don't you run for public office? No, thank you. Who would be foolish enough to run for public office? It doesn't matter how smart any of the people that run for, it doesn't matter. There's a lot of people in the private sector that would consider running for public office if they were running for public office and knew that they could build a platform based upon their business acumen or what it is that they brought to the table and not spend 90% of their time having people dig up what they did 12, 15, and 20 years ago, not finding a particular tape or a word or something that they said or a movement that they made, whatever it could be. That's ridiculous. Yes. Did I smoke pot when I was in college? Yes, I did. Do you realize because of that, that's why I wouldn't want to run for office, because someone will show a picture of Mark smoking pot 20, 30, 40 years ago. That's the word. It's ridiculous. Let's find the right candidates who run for office. We're stuck with what we've got, folks. You know, everyone's going to sit there and say, well, I didn't vote for this guy. I didn't vote for that guy. Or this guy's rotten. And even our senators and congressmen. Look, our Senate and Congress has an 11% approval rating right now. 11%. That means 89% of us believe that there is something better that we could have in Congress. Yet, what we will continue to do over and over and over again is vote for our guy, because we don't think it's our guy that's the problem. It's somebody else, some other state, some other senator, some other congressman. Wouldn't it be nice to just have a clean slate and start all over? You know, we couldn't do that. That's just not realistic. But that's why we should have term limits, though, too. That's the good reason for term limits. That is ridiculous. Find me any other. Oh, well, Supreme Court, I guess, doesn't have term limits either. But this is insane. Yeah, I'm angry. Yes, I'm frustrated, because you know what? I want our country to be recognized as the greatest country in the world, and we are the laughing stock. So what, how does that replay? How does that relay into money and providing financial advice in a language you can understand? Well, here's just this. Why don't we follow the rules that have been created in the personal financial system? Why don't we follow what happens that if you forget to pay your, if you forget to take money out of your IRA at 70 and a half, when you're supposed to, there's supposed to be a 50% penalty for not taking it out. Not 15, a 50% penalty. Do you know how many people actually pay that penalty? Very few. Very few, because some, many people go, well, I just didn't know. Well, you know what? We have rules in place. Rules are meant to be followed. These are not guidelines. There's a lot of guidelines that are out there, but these are rules. These are the law. Yet you get a waiver. That doesn't make sense. I love people when you go into work, they say, you know, you're supposed to be here from 8:30 to 5, and our hours at work are 8:30 to 5, and here's your job description, and here's what you need to do to get a bonus and all that kind of stuff. And many employees believe that they're entitled to a bonus simply for showing up. Simply for, well, I didn't miss a day of work. I showed up every day on time. Why don't I get my bonus? You're getting paid to show up to work. You get a bonus for going over and above what you're supposed to do. Showing up on time, taking the right amount of time for lunch, meeting within your number of paid time off days is not going over and above. That's doing your job. And if you don't do that, you should get fired. Yeah, I'm angry. Yes, I'm upset because I see so many people here in America getting lazier and lazier and lazier. And employers, businesses, government, everybody is more accepting of the fact. There's a lot of people that are upset who are working for, I believe it was the Massport or the MBTA, who had that money room in the back. And they're upset that a private firm, Brinks, is going to go in and take over that job. You're taking jobs away from us. But they weren't doing their job. If you don't do your job, you get fired. It's that simple. It's not showing up. You have to do your job. You want to do your job well. You do your job with passion. You do your job and look forward to getting into work every day. Focus on making your boss's job easier. That's really the goal here. You know, you want to go into work. You want to work hard so that your boss's job can be easier. Because you know what? If you can make their job easier, then they're making the next boss's job easier. And that's how you begin to move up in a company. If you can't prove to anybody that you're making somebody else's job easier and they're not recognizing it, not doing anything about it, you're not going anywhere. You're stuck in a dead-end job. The choice is yours. Do you want to make more money? Do you want to feel more responsible? Do you want to feel more personal accountability for the work that you do? Or do you just want to go to your job, punch in, punch out, get the heck home at the end of the day, and then go back to work the next day? Choice is yours. But if you just want to be that go-to-work guy, punch in, punch out, do my job, don't expect to keep getting paid more money. You're not making anything better. In fact, you're being able to do something more efficiently. And if you're doing it more efficiently, chances are you're not doing more. You're just finding more time to relax and enjoy the day. I know I'm on a rant today. It's been a long week. I got a lot more to say. Hang tight. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Once in a lifetime, a musical comes along that transcends the art form and becomes part of our national heritage.
Tonight, tonight, it all began tonight.
Bill Haney's North Shore Music Theater presents an all-new production of West Side Story.
Free in America, okay by me in America, everything free in America.
The landmark musical with one of the most stunningly beautiful scores ever created for the stage.
When you're a jet, you're the top cat in town. You're the gold medal kid with the heavyweight crown. When you're a jet, you're the swinginest thing. Little boy, you're a man. Little man, you're a king.
West Side Story is at North Shore Music Theater for 3 weeks only, starting November 1st. For tickets, log on to nsmt.org. Sponsored by Abiomed.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. I just had another cup of coffee. Are you ready for more? We have been on a roll the past the past two segments of this show. I've just been on a bit of a rant. I'm probably a little nudgy and edgy after 11 days at the Topsfield Fair, where we had a tremendous time. I run the B'nai B'rith booth at the Topsfield Fair. We have over 200 volunteers, some of the greatest volunteers in the world, who really dedicate their time 4 to 6 hours a day some days, working. They actually work. You know, there's a lot of people that say, oh, I'll help volunteer at the road race. And they hand out a flyer. They sit at the table and they hand out a flyer. Here you are. Oh, let me sign you in. My volunteers work their butts off. We are running a restaurant and the line is out the door. And yeah, it gets heated. We yell. We scream. We move. We work hard. People get tired. They're sweating. It is a busy, busy place. And I want to thank our volunteers that have been working with us all these years. Look, this year's volunteers ranged from ages between 13 and 86 years old. So we had all different ages. We find all the right places. Even, you know, let me tell you, some of the most active and vibrant volunteers are some of my 80-year-olds who were running back and forth with hot dogs, putting together pastrami sandwiches and brisket sandwiches. They were working hard, slapping cream cheese on bagels, cooking potato latkes, making macaroni and cheese. They were working hard. And I want to thank them all for all the work that they do. We did have a decent year, not our best year because, you know, the weather is the weather and the way it is. But I hope we'll see you back there at the B'nai B'rith booth. If you happen to swing by, more than 100 people came by the booth that listened to this show asking for their free gift. It was so funny when people would walk up to the window and I'd be actually working the window. They go, hey, I'm looking for Mark Friedman. I go, hold on, let me see if he's here. I turn around, anybody, Mark Friedman here? And the guy says, which one is he? Which one is he? And it was me, right? I said, they'd see their faces when they realized that they were actually talking to me. It was pretty funny. So they all got their gifts. We had one woman, and I'm not sure if she's listening today. Great lady who came up. She was in her little motorized scooter. She was all dressed up. She had a great time at the fair, came up to the window, and it was like she was celebrity searching. And she found me, and she was so excited to have her picture taken with someone from the radio station, and we gave her a brownie, and actually, I think I did a selfie with her. She was a great lady, and so thank you to everybody that swung by the fair. I really appreciate it. All right, let me go back and finish up and wrap up this thought that I had on. I know we've been talking a little bit about politics. We've only a few weeks away from this election. You know, I offer up some opinions. Sometimes I try to be as balanced as possible, but here's my prediction when this thing is all over, and I think I said this back in July, back in June. At the end of the day, and I know a lot of people are nervous, what's going to happen? Who's going to vote for what? We all know what's going to happen in Massachusetts. It doesn't matter what your political affiliation is. Hillary's going to win Massachusetts. That just comes. I mean, Donald could be Ronald Reagan and Hillary would still win Massachusetts. So that doesn't matter. But the reality is, my personal prediction, it's going to be a landslide. This thing will be over before California even closes their polls. You know, oftentimes they don't try to show election results until California closes. But the exit polls that are going to come out around the election is going to be, it's going to be so much in Hillary's favor. There's a lot of people that are taking defensive positions. They don't want to play their card. They don't want to show who they're voting for. And there's a lot of people who say, look, I don't know who I'm voting for. And that's because they don't want to say that they're voting for Trump. When they actually walk into that booth and you have to stand there and stare at those names with the ovals, Hillary is going to win by a landslide, folks. You know what I think is upsetting, though, is listening to all of the folks that talk about, well, what about Gary Johnson? What about Gary Johnson? Why shouldn't he have it? You know what? Gary Johnson sounds great until you put him up on a debate, and then you'll realize how much of an idiot he is, how much he really doesn't know, how much he knows even less about what these candidates are talking about, how unprepared he is, how he doesn't even have the kind of field force that would be necessary. He doesn't have the protections that are in place right now that these two candidates have with Secret Service and all of the government protections that are out there. He doesn't have the team, the marketing, the campaign manager, nothing like that. But it's just an easy excuse to say, hey, what about the other guy? It's like looking across the lawn. You know, the neighbor's lawn's always greener than yours. We're always jealous of the stuff we don't know that goes on in other people's homes. Let's focus on the information that we do have in front of us. All the information about Gary Johnson is pure speculation. And basically, by you voting for Gary Johnson, you're making a statement that you're saying, I'm going to put the decision of this country in the hands of somebody else because I don't want to put my name to say, well, I didn't vote for that guy or I didn't vote for her. Don't vote for Gary Johnson. Come on. Have some guts. Go with what is right to do. You're an American citizen. You have an American right to vote. Use that patriotic duty appropriately. Make your statement and vote. Get out there. Look, my daughter Alana, who's 18 years old, isn't registered, and I'm ticked off at her that she hasn't registered to vote yet. She says, I just don't have time for it. You know, there's a few things. I bet she'll figure out time when she knew when the time was when she was eligible for a driver's license. And I bet she'll definitely know the time when she turns 21 that she can drink legally. But she won't take a visit down to the post office to register to vote. And I think that's unfortunate. I really think that's unfortunate. Think about if you were to send your child a package at college who's a freshman or sophomore, I bet they would rush to the post office to collect that package. And while they were there, they could fill out a card. I believe that's where you register, either at the post office or City Hall. You could register, but they won't. Where do they do it? Oh, yeah, you can do it online. My producer is like whispering these things. You could have screamed at Tony. It's okay. It's and you can go online. In fact, hey, you know what you could have done? I did this. At the Topsfield Fair, there was a tent for people to register voters. To register voters. And I told Alana showed up at the fair for an hour, so I said, go over there and register. Look, I'm not going to pull her by the ear. That's her responsibility. She's an adult now, and she didn't do it. And I think we should work really hard to make sure that our children are registering, making a decision, voting. That's my personal opinion. All right, more financial advice in a language you can understand. Let's go back to some personal finance issues. Let's do that. You know, a lot of people have been looking at buying houses lately. The housing market is at an attractive price. Houses are moving, both buying and selling. And some people are wondering, what kind of mortgage should I take out? Should I buy a 30-year mortgage at a really low fixed rate of, say, 3-something or 4%? Should I go with an interest only? Should I go with an adjustable rate mortgage? What is the best way to do this? Well, the best question to ask somebody when they're thinking about the type of mortgage that they want is to ask them, number one, how long do you plan on staying in the house? If your answer is, I plan on being in my home 3 to 5 years or more, you do not want to buy an interest only or an adjustable rate mortgage. Do you know why? Are interest rates likely to go up or go down over the next 5 to 10 years? I think we would all agree that interest rates are going to move upward. Now, granted, we've been saying this for the past 4 or 5 years, that interest rates are going to go up. But I think we're finally going to start to see hints of it come December. And then into 2017, interest rates are going to start moving up. Now, interest rates moving up can be a good thing for some. If you're looking at getting a better interest rate on your CDs or bank accounts, yeah, that can be okay. That can be good, but you're not going to see anything significant there. When interest rates go up, it also raises the potential interest rate that banks can lend you money. Because understand how the whole banking system and how this all works. How do banks make money? I always ask my kids this. How do banks make money? Banks make money by making loans. Banks don't make money by taking your deposits. The last thing the bank wants to do I shouldn't say the last thing. So let's go back. Banks make their money issuing loans. And the way they make that money is making sure that the interest rate that they're collecting on the loans is higher than the interest that they're paying depositors for their money. So the bank needs depositors. The bank needs depositors. And did you know that over the past 4 or 5 years, banks have more money in their banks than ever before? Isn't that strange? The stock market has had a fabulous run over the past 4 or 5 years. Yet banks have more money than ever before. And how much money are banks paying? Nothing. Generally nothing. Under 1%. Under 0.5%. And in fact, if all of a sudden you bounce one check or have one overwrite problem, in that the fees that it will cost you will basically eat up the entire interest that you're earning on your account. So banks can make money on the difference between lending money out at, say, 4% and paying you nothing. They just made a 4% profit, right? If they're collecting 4% in interest and they're paying you nothing on your money, they've just made a profit of that 4% spread. But what happens if interest rates go up? If interest rates go from, let's say, 4% to 5% on mortgage rates go up from 4% to 5%. Now, banks have to make a decision. Do we have to raise CD rates? Do we have to raise checking account rates? They don't have to. And until the market demands it, why would they raise the rate? They'll make money now at a 5% spread. And what will cause banks to start raising their interest rates to you? What will cause them to start raising their interest rates on CDs, checking accounts, savings accounts? You know what will cause them to start doing that? When people start pulling money out of the bank and investing it elsewhere. So until that time comes when there's a demand for people to pull money out of the bank and invest it in the bond market, invest it in the stock market, the banks, making a business decision, remember, they're in business for their shareholders, for their depositors. A business decision says, if we can make more money by lending money at a higher rate and not paying our depositors any interest on their money, if we don't have to, we're going to keep doing that. You know who else is going to make money in this deal? Credit card companies. Because as soon as interest rates start going up, you're already paying a ridiculous credit card rate, but you're going to pay an even higher credit card rate. And until you start paying off your debt, the credit card companies figure, why should we lower our rates? Why, let's keep them up high. Let's make as much money as we can. Because at some point, hopefully, enough people will have enough smarts to say, I don't want to carry a credit card balance anymore. And now they have to make that credit card look a little bit more attractive. But if you're foolish enough to continue to pay credit card balances and pay the minimum payment, use your credit card as an extended form of a loan, you're feeding into the profit center that is a credit card company, that is a bank. Folks, you don't want to carry debt. And I love how people say to me, Mark, well, you know, having a loan or having an equity loan or having a mortgage is good because I get a tax deduction. Well, let's talk about the value of that tax deduction when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away.
Do you ever wonder whether you'll have enough money to retire? Retiring for the Genius is a blueprint to prepare for a comfortable retirement. This easy-to-read guidebook on living your life in retirement is written by certified financial planner Mark Friedman and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 o'clock until 9 a.m. You'll find the tools and templates helpful so you can prepare to make smart decisions on how to spend your money in retirement. If you're older than 55 and expect to spend between $4,000 and $10,000 a month in retirement, Retiring for the Genius is a treasure map for achieving your successful retirement. When it comes to retiring, don't be a dummy. Pick up a copy of Retiring for the Genius at Amazon.com.
Pick up your treasure map for retirement. Available now at Amazon.com. Search Mark Friedman, Retiring for the Genius.
Welcome back to the final segment of Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Been doing this radio show for about 4 years or so now. I got to have the chance to meet a lot of you up at the Topsfield Fair while I was running the B'nai B'rith booth, so thank you for swinging by. Hope you enjoyed the free brownies that we hood out to. And they weren't little brownies, were they? They were like 4-inch by 4-inch brownies. They were a nice hunk of brownie. So I hope you liked that. Hope you enjoyed the food. Hope you enjoyed the fair. We'll see you back there next year. But if you would like to actually forget about the fair for a few minutes and think about your own personal finances, think about how can you start to make smarter financial decisions? How can you get serious about your retirement plan, about getting together with you and your spouse, with your family, and making sure that the assets and liabilities that you have collected that represent your net worth are positioned appropriately to give you the confidence that in retirement, you can live the lifestyle you want. If you want that, if you'd like me to show you how to do that, I'd love to meet with you. Let me give you my phone number at the office. It's 978-531-8108. No one's in the office today. Just leave a message. Jody will call you back. We'll schedule a free initial consultation for you. If you do come in for a free initial consultation, one thing that you get, you always get a copy of my book, Retiring for the Genius. We always give you one of those just as a thanks for coming in. But we'd really love to help you. If you have a net worth that's somewhere between, that's greater than $500,000 and higher, you become a great candidate for our office. If you're over the age of 50, if you need to spend in retirement between $4,000 and $10,000 or $11,000 a month, we could be a great firm for you. What we're going to do is we're going to help you understand where everything is and what it's all worth. We're going to give you some direction on, are you invested properly? Are you taking advantage of the tax code the way it has been presented to you? And yes, I want to see you spend less in taxes. And if you could spend no taxes, that's a good thing, as long as we keep it within the constraints and the rules of the IRS tax code. One of the things that I also want to help you with is understanding tax deductibility. And that's one of the things we talked about in the last segment. We were talking about how people love to carry balances, whether it's on a credit card, an auto loan. It's only $300 a month or only $400 a month. I love when people go to Best Buy and they figure, well, this TV is on sale for 20% off. Let's say this TV is costing me $500, but I can get it for $400 because it's 20% off. But I can pay for it with my Best Buy charge. And now I can pay for it over time. Many people who pay the minimum balance, or they pay just say $50 a month until they pay it off, you're not paying eight payments of 50 to make $400. You're paying interest. And I bet you the $100 that you think you just saved for buying something at $400 rather than $500, when you add up the interest payments, certainly if it's over 1 year, you would have paid more than $500 for that television. Folks, pay cash for those types of things. No one should be putting a big screen TV, a $500 item, on a credit card and carrying the balance. Pay for that stuff. If you can't afford it, don't buy it. The TV that you have can last a little bit longer. The shoes that you own can wear a little bit longer. The car that you own can drive a little bit further. The vacation that you want can wait a little bit longer. Prepare appropriately. But one of the things that we talked about earlier was mortgage interest. And many people say, well, it's great, you know, instead of taking money out of the bank, or taking, someone had said, well, I need to give my son $10,000. I got money in the bank, I give him $10,000. Or Mark, I could take a $10,000 loan on my equity loan and write it to him, and the interest will be tax deductible. Huh. Is that a good deal? What's the interest rate? Oh, around 3.5%. I said, what are you getting for interest on the money that you have in the bank? Nothing. So wait a second. Let me be sure I understand this. So you want to write a check for you're asking me, should I write a check for $10,000 out of an account that pays me zero interest? Or write a check out of my equity line checkbook. So now I have a $10,000 equity loan and I can pay myself back at a rate of 3% or 3.75% for as long as I want. Well, yeah, isn't that a good thing? But I get a tax deduction on the 3.75%, right? Yeah. But what's the tax deduction? So let's say you paid, let's say the interest was 3% for the year, okay? And you're going to pay back $10,000 in 1 year. What's 3% of $10,000? That's $300. Now, will you be able to take that $300 as a tax deduction? Perhaps, but remember, you're already entitled to a big tax deduction whether you have a mortgage interest or not. It's called the standard deduction. The standard deduction is a flat amount of money that the government gives you to write off on Schedule A of your tax return. Now, if you have deductions that are higher than the standard deduction, you can take that as a deduction against your income. But just because you're able to write $300 as a deduction against your income doesn't mean that you got all $300 back. I want you to think about this. Let's say, for instance, you did have that $300 as a deductible item on Schedule A of your tax return. And let's say your income was $100,000. Okay? $100,000. Let's say at $100,000, your tax rate to the government is, let's just use the number 20%. That's not the right number. Let's just use that number, though. So $20,000 of your $100,000 is subject to tax. So now, you get a $300 as a deduction on your from your interest on your equity loan. So now you get you had $100,000. You're going to pay $20,000 in taxes. $20,000 in taxes, but you get to get a tax deduction. Did you get $300 that you don't have to pay in taxes? No, that's not how that works. It's $300 that's deducted from your $100,000. So instead of paying taxes on $100,000, you'd pay taxes on $99,700. So you didn't get to save $300. You only saved the tax on $300, which at 20% was $60. So you still paid $240 out of your pocket that you didn't need to have to pay. Now, many of you probably didn't follow what I just did there on the math in my head. But I'm telling you, folks, the bottom line here is that just because you think you're getting a tax deduction for something, you're not getting what's called a tax credit. Tax deduction and tax credit are two totally different things. A tax deduction allows you to deduct money from your income so that your net income is subject to less tax. A tax credit is something that you figure out what your tax liability is and then apply the tax credit against the tax liability and really get that 100% offset of taxes. Tax deductions and tax credits are two very, very different things. So the smart thing to do is for this gentleman to give his son $10,000 from the bank rather than borrow against his house. Now, his argument to me is, well, Mark, I'm never going to sell the house. When I die, he'll take over the house and he'll have that money then. I said, so wait a second. So if you're going to do that, so you're going to take out the equity loan, how quickly are you going to pay the equity loan off? He says, I don't know, 5-10 years. So I'm thinking, you're going to spend $300 every single year for 5 or 10 years. 300 times 10 is $3,000. You're willing to lay out $3,000 for him to wait for you to die so he can buy the house. And hopefully the house is worth more then than what it is now. That is not a good financial move. But you know what? It feels good in his gut to do it that way, and he's going to do it anyways. Look, sometimes the smartest financial decisions we make are the ones that we don't make because of a spreadsheet, but we make because it feels good. Now, I'm not saying that that's the smartest thing to do, but it's what people oftentimes do. They make decisions with their guts. They don't make it with their pencil or with any logic behind it, or they try to create their own logic themselves. And that's one of the challenging things about being a financial planner. My job is to expose you to all of the options that you have, knowing full well that at the end of the day, you're going to make the decision that you feel is right for you. And you know what? When you make that decision, I'm going to stand behind you. I'm going to stand behind you. I'm going to remind you of what you did, remind you of the implications of it, but I'm not going to berate you for making a decision that didn't agree with me. You got to do what feels good for you. You need to understand the implications of what happens by making that decision. But at the end of the day, we just need to build that into your planning. That's what you chose to do. Do we know if the value of homes are going up or down in the next 10 years? No. If the value of this house triples in 5 years or 10 years, maybe borrowing that money was not such a bad move. Who knows? Who knows? Because in 5 years, the money that was in the bank might not be paying 0% interest anymore. Maybe it's now paying 2 or 3 or 4 or 5. Who knows? So we have to find what we all feel comfortable doing, knowing full well that we don't know what the long-term end result is going to be. Yes, it can be modeled. Yes, you can build spreadsheets. Yes, you can build presentations and proposals and all that kind of stuff. But I'll ask you this. I want you to think back 5 years ago. Are you spending the same amount of money that you spent 5 years ago? Have you made any large purchases that you weren't expecting to make over the past 5 years? Of course you have. Have you received any sums of money that you weren't expecting to receive over the past 5 years? Maybe it was an inheritance. Maybe it was a lottery winning. Maybe it was a bonus that you got from work. The minute one of those things happen, all of the projections that are made looking forward 3 years, 5 years, 10 years out, blow up. So the only truth that I can tell people, and this is the truth, is when you start to put together a retirement planning projection, if you've hired someone to do a financial plan for you and they put up these nice charts and these nice pretty graphs and all that kind of stuff, And the only time that you see that plan is when they hand it to you and it's not reviewed and it's not updated and it's not modified. What they print out for you on that plan is a lie. It's not true because it never will come true. There is no way that you will continue to earn the same amount of money every year for the next 20, 30, 40 years. There's no way that you'll continue to earn the same amount of money every year for the next 20, 30 years. There's no way that you won't spend at different levels, at different intervals over your lifetime. How many times are you going to buy a car? Has that been factored in? Maybe every 4 or 5 years you're going to buy a car. Maybe you'll need to replace the roof. Maybe you'll need to give the kids money for a wedding or for a bar mitzvah or for a graduation. Maybe you want to help the kids buy a house. Maybe you want to buy a boat. Maybe you'll have to pay for healthcare costs. I bet all those things don't get factored in on a one-time financial plan. A financial plan is a fluid activity that requires change throughout your life. Things like interest rates, market fluctuations, earning potential, and more impact your plan. A good financial planner knows that a financial plan is a fluid activity, like I said. They make it a living document. They make it something that you can see the progress of change and adapt appropriately when necessary without being scared and not being surprised about what the changes are that are coming. If you'd like that help, if you'd like me to help you, I would love to do it. Give my office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. My firm is Friedman Financial. If you leave a message on my machine, Jody will get the message. She will call you back. We'll schedule a free initial consultation for you. And if you'd like to receive our newsletter, it's called Planning Pointers. It comes out each and every Friday morning. Comes right into your inbox, 10:30 in the morning. All you need to do is go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Go to the bottom of the website. Click on the button that says sign up for Mark's newsletter. You'll hit the button. It'll have a little pop-up window. Will go there. You'll put in your email address and boom, you will start getting my newsletter with little segments, little bits, financial advice in a language you can understand. We'll see you again next Sunday. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.